The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Are all people in God's kingdom equal? Well, that's what we're going to talk about and much more on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Currently, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. You can get your questions answered by sending us an email, radio@faithalone.org. Let's get right to today's question and answer with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, let's get back to taking your Q&A. Here is someone, this is from Henry, and Henry says, I read your blog the other day, Are All Equal in God's Kingdom? I enjoyed your reflections. And by the way, this is a great way to interact with us. We have our blog coming out Monday through Friday by me, Bob, and Ken. We have in multiple languages. And so if you want just kind of like a theological something to chew on, I think it's a great blog to read.
Amen.
We're trying to grow it and make it better. So I appreciate your thoughts and reflections on the focus statement. His question is, how are you finding yourself able to acknowledge all equally in God's kingdom? How are you finding yourself able to acknowledge all equally in God's kingdom?
Yeah, I think this person is from another country. If I remember, I saw their email, and I think their English is their second language.
Yes.
So I think what the person...
Which is amazing, by the way,
right,
that you're reading and interacting in theology in a second language.
Right.
So good for you.
And I think what Henry means is, how can we say that everyone is not equal in the kingdom? Or maybe he's asking, how can we say everyone is equal?
Well, maybe we can say both. Like, in what sense is everyone equal, and in what sense is everyone...
Okay, good. And by the way, I don't think this blog was by you or me. I think this was a blog by Ken Yates.
Okay.
Will we reign just for 1,000 years or forever?
Oh, yeah.
How will all believers be the same forever? All believers will have everlasting life.
Yeah.
All believers will have a pain-free experience. All believers will have joy forever. All believers will be in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ forever. All believers will serve him forever. On and on and on.
And members of the church, we're going to have,
we'll have resurrection, glorified bodies. That's right.
Forever and ever.
And so there's a whole lot of things in common. But the different elements are, some people are going to rule with Christ from the church age, and some people won't.
Right.
And some people are going to have special white garments, and some people won't. Some people will have the right to the tree of life and eat these 12 fruits, one each month. Some will not. Some will have the right to the hidden manna. Some will not. Some will have a special white stone with a nickname on it that the Lord gives just to you.
Yeah.
And some will not.
I mean, think of it this way. I immigrated here from Canada. So I am a naturalized American citizen. I have my passport. I have the certificate saying I'm American. But I will never, ever, ever be president of this country.
Why not?
I can't be. I am disqualified from being president because I was
not born here. Natural born, yeah.
But I have the same rights as all other Americans do, except for that one. So that one I'm excluded from. But otherwise, I'm equal to any other American.
Also, something I didn't mention is treasure in heaven is both something all believers will have and they'll have differently. It seems to me that any good works that any believer did results in some treasure being laid up in heaven to be given to us at the judgment seat of Christ. But how much we lay up depends on what we've done. And I call those instant winners because in Matthew 6:19-21, whenever we do a good work with the right motive, we've laid up treasure in heaven. So all believers will have some of that, but how much? It depends. But as far as equality, all believers will be equal in terms of the fact that we're children of God and that we're loved by God. But in terms of our role in the kingdom, they won't be the same.
Yeah.
And in terms of our joy, some joy will be more abundant than others. All believers' joy, but some more abundant than others.
Do you think that's going to change over time, or is it you're just stuck with a certain amount of joy that never grows?
Okay, that was Ken Yates' blog, basically. It was about rulership, but I think it applies here. And I would say that the level of joy a person can attain has a certain cap on it based on what they did in this life. But in answer to your question, I do think potentially our joy could grow, both for the overcomer and for the non-overcomer. But it seems to me there's some limit on that because of what they did in this life.
And what about treasure? Because, you know, we've wondered, is there going to be an economy, you know?
Right.
Certainly in the millennial kingdom, there's going to be an economy.
Seems to me there will, yeah.
Is there going to be one in eternity? Like, how literal is this treasure? Because treasure, unless it's just a metaphor for something we don't understand, but if it's literal treasure, that's meant to be spent, you know, and you can have less or more of it. So can your treasure grow or shrink?
Okay, my view is that our treasure that we lay up is going to be a monthly or annual trust fund.
Uh-huh.
So we'll get so much money every month or every year forever. And that's not going to grow.
It's like Social Security.
It's like
Eternal
Social Security. Or your IRA or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's going to be a cost of living adjustment because I don't think there's going to be inflation in Jesus' kingdom.
Yeah.
No. So it seems to me that the treasure we lay up will be some amount that we receive, and we will use that to glorify God. Now, Zane Hodges, when I talked to him about this, he thought this word for treasure is being used metaphorically, as you said.
Oh, he did. Okay.
And
yeah.
He said, I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
It's probably just some measure of joy or something like that.
Yeah.
But we're not meant to know what it is. Well, that could be. But the word thesaurus does have the idea of treasure.
That's, did you just say the word thesaurus?
Yeah, let me see.
Do you know which dinosaur is the most well-read?
Which one?
It's the thesaurus.
Okay, Matthew 6, let me see, 19. It says, do not lay up treasure, and it's thesaurizo.
There you go.
Thesaurizo. And by the way, it is thesaurus, not thesaurus, but thesaurus in verse 21.
Ah.
The noun form is thesaurus.
Very interesting. So why would we use that English word? Is it because you're bringing up the treasure of the English language?
It's a treasury of words.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, here's a question from Jess. And Jess says, I've been loving your latest blogs, especially in regards to faith not being a choice. She lost her faith that the Bible is true in Bible college. She was passionate about her faith, but school taught Lordship Salvation, and she says, and it drove me away to the point where I wanted nothing to do with it. But then I found GES. It was refreshing to learn all we have to do is believe Jesus for the gift of eternal life, and we are saved. So we're glad to be able to help you with that.
That's great.
But here's her question. But I still have so many doubts about the Bible that I'm wondering if I'm still unsaved. So that's her question.
And what's her name?
Jess.
Jess, okay. Well, you know, if a person has doubts about the Bible, then it's reasonable that they will have doubts about their salvation if and only if their doubts about the Bible include passages that deal with how we're born again, like John 3:16, John 5:24.
Yeah.
It's possible for a person to believe, for example, that they doubt that, let's say, that there was a worldwide flood.
Yeah.
And they might convince themselves that the scriptures teach it was a local flood, or they may see that the Bible clearly teaches it's a worldwide flood, but I doubt that's true. A person might say, I doubt the creation account is true. But yet that same person could say, but I know John 3:16 is true because
right.
I know Jesus is trustworthy. I know he died on the cross.
Right.
He rose from the dead. He's God in the flesh. And so as a result, it's possible to believe some things in the Bible and have doubts about other things, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Or I was thinking about the Pharisees, the kind of the exact opposite. They believed a lot about the scriptures, but they doubted Jesus.
That's right.
I mean, he says, you're searching the scriptures, but you refuse to come to me to have eternal life.
Yeah, John 5:39.
So really, 40. That's the issue. I would say, Jess, that's the issue. Have you come to Jesus for eternal life?
And in terms of her assurance right now, it's do you still believe that?
Yes.
In other words, are you doubting that or are you doubting other things?
Yeah.
If she is doubting that John 3:16 is true, then she can't have assurance.
Right. If you're doubting all those saving message passages, like I was thinking, I mean, there's so many different doubts you can have. Who wrote Hebrews? I have lots of doubts about that. You know, doubts about particular passages. Who edited Genesis, if anyone? Was it Moses Or was it Joshua, or was it Ezra, or someone else?
Well, I don't know. The whole Pentateuch.
The whole Pentateuch.
Because there's lots of little comments here and there by somebody that seems to have edited
it. Right, it's all in the third person past tense and with lots of statements of Moses. Who edited all that? I have doubts about that. People say, you know, Isaiah is split into as many as three different Isaiahs. I don't believe that, but I could see someone doubting about that, but they still believe in Jesus for eternal salvation.
That's actually being taught at conservative seminaries now, that there are three Isaiahs, three parts to Isaiah, even though Jesus quoted from all three parts, I think, and identified them all as from Isaiah.
Right.
But you're right. People can have doubts in certain areas and yet be sure they have everlasting life. The opposite is also true. A person could have a high view of inerrancy and yet come from a theological perspective that says we can't be sure because we don't know if we're a quote-unquote real believer.
Well, I think you might be debating a young earth creationist Roman Catholic lordship salvation person.
Yeah.
And so they're sure of young earth creation and another view, which I won't say because it'll give his identity away. But he's probably doubting his salvation. Someone like that could, they believe the scriptures, but they doubt their salvation because they don't believe the saving message.
So what I would say to Jess is, if you have doubts about the scriptures, pray about it. Mm. I remember a famous story with Billy Graham where one time he was at this famous camp in California, and he went out at night and he said, God, I'm having doubts about some parts of scripture in terms of the inerrancy of scripture. But I know you're God, and I know what you say is true and your word is true. And so I'm standing on it being true, even though I can't explain everything. And I just pray you would keep me faithful to you.
Right.
Well, it seems to me that's a good attitude. And so, Jess, I would say, pray about it. Ask God to show you the truth of all parts of his word. And if you lack assurance of everlasting life, then my encouragement is pray about that too and read the Gospel of John prayerfully and say, is John 3:16 true? Is John 5:24 true?
Right.
God will show you it's true, and then you'll regain your assurance.
Right.
And by the way, I am so thrilled with her testimony that we had an influence on someone who Bible college burned her out.
Yeah. I would clarify, in case we haven't said it, the condition of salvation is not to have zero doubts about the Bible.
Amen.
All right, thanks for the question, and please keep on listening, and we'll see you guys next show.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. Thanks for listening. We look forward to being back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.